Chase Willie and D Mace, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, no Willie Donick right now. He is in Prague in the Czech Republic. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos behind the glass. Carson Wentz, quarterback for the Washington Commanders. The Titans saw him last year with the Colts, obviously won both of those games. And then Jim Irsay got rid of him, said, get him out of here. Don't like him, don't want him. Now he has gone to the Washington Commanders, where he's gotten sacked 17 times through four games this year. When you watch Carson Wentz, Derek, what do you see?
I see a quarterback that basically is doing the same things he did in Indianapolis. Right now I think he has 8 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Now they're asking him, because they have the guys on the outside, whether it's McLaurin or Dotson or whatnot, they have guys on the outside that can make plays. So they're asking him to throw the ball a little bit more. And if you look at the good thing about Carson Wentz is that he's one of these quarterbacks that you can't truly get a bead on. Like where does he like to throw it? Who does he like to throw it to? Obviously McLaurin is his guy, but he distributes the ball all across the field. If you look at his numbers and his completions and yardage based upon, you know, down a distance, whether he's throwing it in the middle to the left hash to the right hash, he spreads the ball around everywhere. Now, he throws the ball in the middle of the field more times than not, but if you just look at the chart, like, he's throwing it everywhere. And that's kind of hard for a defense because everybody has to be on at all times because you never know where he's going to distribute the ball. But, again, it boils down to, can Carson Wentz win you football games? Well, this team should be 0-4 because they should have lost to the Jaguars, but they pulled that out at the end. They haven't been able to generate many points. That defense hasn't been able to stop anybody. As good as that front line is, they're still giving up 28 points a game. They're almost dead last in the NFL. But I think from a quarterback standpoint, he's doing what they're asking him to do, but they can't ask him to do no more. He's not that type of quarterback that's going to – I mean, listen, we got the same problem here. Sure. But the difference is we got a really good coach and a really good running back. Washington doesn't have a really – their coach is okay, but their running game is inept.
Riverboat Ron.
He's okay. A good coach, yeah. He's a good coach. But their running game is not a good one. You know, they can't sit back and turn around. Yeah, they can't turn around and hand the ball off and alleviate some of the pressure off of Carson Wentz. They can't because their running game is inept right now. And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the offensive line. If offensive line has given up 17 sacks, that means something's going on. Houston, we got a problem. Now, I haven't looked at all 17 sacks. Because, you know, just like we saw this past weekend with Ryan Tannehill, he rolled himself into a sack. Well, how many of these sacks did Carson Wentz sort of, bring upon himself? You know? So, I mean, again, he's not a guy that is going to wow you. He's not a guy that is going to, at this point, win you football games. But at least he does have talent on that team. He does have a playmaker in McLaurin. So they have to be mindful
of that.
Exactly. They have to be mindful of that. So it's not just a automatic stamp win for the Titans when they go up east, northeast, excuse me, to play the Commanders, excuse me.
Yeah, I know. We're still getting used to that. Look, Terry McLaurin to me is a player.
Yeah.
And they obviously, have.
They're going to miss Dotson because I don't think he's playing.
Yep, and I mean, look, they've got some playmakers on defense that can hurt you. I think that's probably their strongest area is defense, and then the offense just can't seem to really find the playmakers outside of Terry McLaurin. But Terry McLaurin's a guy now.
Yeah, he's a playmaker in this league, and they rewarded him as such at the beginning of the season when they before the beginning of the season when they gave him that big contract. They did redo his contract from that. They redid his contract because it was like four of those guys that wanted their contract, redone, or the old one tore up and them get a new one. I think all four of them got contracts. Three remained on their original teams. Obviously, AJ's with the Eagles now. So that's why I said he has playmakers, whether it's McLaurin, whether it's Samuel, Dotson's out. So they have guys that can go and make plays for him. It's just
Chase Young's out on defense.
Yeah. So are they going to put the game into Carson Wentz's hands? If indeed they are, which it seems like they will, because their running game is inept. I expect the Titans to go to Washington and get a victory, to go to D.C. and get a victory.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to need to.
Yeah.
Because as Hutton said earlier, if they could do that, they're 3-2 uh-huh. at the bye. Mm-hmm. It's an early bye week.
Yeah.
But you go into the bye week with your head held high, you've won 3 in a row, and then you can use that time to try and address some things that you need to fix. Some things you're just stuck with. Injuries you can't help. But I think this would be a huge confidence boost to be able to go into the off week with a 3-2 record.
Well, yeah. Anytime you can go into the bye week on a winning note is good. And then, it keeps them on pace with Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville has a big game this weekend as well, if I'm not sure.
The Jags.
Who they got this week?
The Jags play. I think they might.
They might be on a bye this week.
They might be off.
Oh well, that's even better. You got a team that's potentially on a bye, and you can pick up a victory.
They
play Houston.
Yeah, they host Houston.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's. I think it's going to be, considering where Houston's at as far as their roster and their record. You would just assume that Jacksonville would win that game. So if that's the case, then yeah, you, even though it is an NFC game, I think you still need to stay on pace with Jacksonville.
Yeah. Now the one thing to consider with Washington is Brian Robinson. He's been designated to return to practice. He had a gunshot wound and hasn't played, but if he's available, then that's certainly going to help things for them.
Yeah. It will bolster this roster. Because it's such an unfortunate situation. It happened right before this. Didn't it happen right before the season?
Yep.
Yeah, it happened right before the season. Just man, I'm just happy he's still here with us and able to play this game. But if they can get him back, then, yeah, that helps out their roster moving forward.
Yeah, it's just an interesting time in the NFL because – to me, I'm not sure, Miami with Tua potentially being out a while, I don't know exactly what they are. I still think Buffalo's the real deal, even though they did lose to Miami. I think Buffalo is for real. And then outside of that, in the AFC especially, Kansas City's 3-1, but they've kind of shown they got a couple of warts here and there. I mean, I think it's probably those two. And then you got a bunch of 2-2 teams, including the Titans behind them. This is a big opportunity for the Titans to get in and get their footing under them as they compete in the AFC, because nobody's really standing out running away with it outside of Buffalo and then maybe Kansas City.
Yeah, the AFC has just been – it's been a cluster, whether it's, AFC South, which – the Titans are in, everyone's, the first top two teams are 2-2. Indianapolis 1-2-1. They can easily be 2-2 or 0-1, whatever. Then you got, the West. Kansas City's leading it. And I do believe, honestly, now that I've watched every team in this division in the West, at least a game or two. I think right now Kansas City is the best team in that division.
Yeah,
they
are. I think that division is not as good as maybe we thought it was going to be.
We thought it was going to be a good division, but it turns out. And listen, it may change as the season goes on, but I think at this point, I think everyone has to agree that the Chiefs are the best team. I know people say, well, Herbert was hurt. I get that.
Yeah.
But that's still supposedly a good roster, you know, and they supposed to, and Herbert didn't miss a game. So I think Kansas City is the best team in that division. The interesting division to me now is the North, because you AFC got the Browns, you got the Bengals, you got the Ravens and the Steelers. I'm not counting the Steelers out.
Nope.
I think
Kenny
Kenny Pickett really gets, you know, himself, you know, comfortable with this pro game, and I think it'll be very quickly. I think this is going to be a different second half Pittsburgh team than it has been thus far. Baltimore continues to get better, but they do things that have hurt them in games. Cincinnati, you still, as much talent as they have on offense, it's still not consistent play with them. Even though they have this quarterback that's a franchise elite quarterback, it's still inconsistencies in their play, all of them. And then the Browns, you just don't know. They're trying to hold on for dear life until Watson come back, and they're 2-2. So that's going to be a division to watch. And then obviously the AFC East. I think ultimately it's going to come down to whether Tua can play moving forward or not. I think if he plays, which you know, I don't know. If he plays, then they can. It will be, you know, head to head them in Buffalo for the whole season. But if he miss a considerable amount of time, this is Buffalo's division.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jets overachieving at 2-2 right now as Zach Wilson is back, and the Patriots not very good. You bring up Tua. We discussed this a little bit earlier, but there's someone that believes Tua should hang it up. We will discuss that coming up next here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase William, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Little Fleetwood Mac brings us back. Well done, Nick. Well done. Very good. 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week. For a chance to win great prizes, you can play now at TheGameNashville.com or on the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. We'll do that tomorrow at noon and have our expert picks. I think it was a decent week for the panel, so we will definitely discuss that. All right, D-Mace, we talked about this earlier, Tua. There is somebody that is saying he should give up football, and that is concussion doctor Bennett Amalu. The movie Concussion, based on him, he told TMZ, he says, quote, "Tua, my brother, I love you. I love you as much as I love my son. Stop playing. Stop. Hang your helmet and gallantly walk away." This after he was taken off on a stretcher last week. A very scary scene. He probably shouldn't have been playing at all. He's out this week. And you know, as we discussed earlier, and love everybody's opinion on this, 615-737-1025, I wouldn't be surprised either way at this point. I think he, you know, obviously the competitor in him, the player in him wants to come back. His career is still just beginning. He has a really good, you know, has had a really good start to the season with the Miami Dolphins. But ultimately, he has to put his health first. And if, one, he's cleared and doctors tell him, hey, you're good to come back, you know the risk, but you're good to come back, can he put out of his mind that every time he sees a 350-pound defensive lineman coming his way, oh, what if this hit concusses me again? He has to put that out of his head. He can't have those thoughts.
Well, yeah, he can't. You can't play this game when you're thinking about injury. I don't think you can play any you know, sport that involves the physicality that football involves, whether it be hockey or football. You can't play that sport and play at your highest level when you're thinking about injury. And if Tua goes out there and this is what he's thinking about, then yeah, it may be time to call it quits. But you know, it as a former player, it's hard for me to sit here and say, you know what, Tua, you need to retire and everything else, because you know it's hard for a guy to do that when he's been playing for so long, and then you know you're playing a sport that allows you to, you know, live a certain way, and make a bunch of money and meet a bunch of fabulous people and help a bunch of people. You know, it's hard for a guy to say, you know what, I'm calling it quits. You know, because I'm sure he loves the game. But he has to, you know, he has to understand, listen, I love this game, but I got to love my life more. And I'm not talking necessarily about my life now. I'm talking about my life when I turn 40, when I turn 50, when I turn 60. That's what the things you do now affect you 5-10 years down the line. We've seen it in the NFL.
Sure.
With concussions. The things, the games you play and the times you ignore concussions maybe doesn't affect you right away, but it could affect you 10-20 years down the line. So that's the decision that Tua and his family, whether he's married and have kids or not, or it's his mom and dad, they're gonna have to make, because the neurologist can say, hey, listen, I've seen enough of this. I've seen pictures. I've, you know, whatever, did surgery on brains, you know, after the fact, and I know what it can do. Repeated concussions can do to a brain and ultimately to your life. So when he says it, he's not thinking about anything else but protecting the player. He's not thinking about the money he can make or anything else. He's independent of all that. So he can say, hey, listen, brother, you need to stop, man. This is, you've had two in less than a week.
Yeah.
You have two concussions and look, in less than a week.
The unfortunate part of this. Well, there's a lot of unfortunate parts to this, but one in particular. Let's say he does retire.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that ultimately, you know, either by his choice or doctors say, hey, you need to retire. Like, you can't take another one. The hard part in all of this is it could have been prevented.
Mm-hmm.
And now he becomes a spokesperson and, you know, the poster child for learning more about concussions and doing a better job of when they do happen in whatever sport of noticing it and doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we agree. He should have never gone back into the game Mm-mm. 2 weeks ago, and he should not have played last Thursday night. He would not be in this position, and the doctor, the independent doctor, gets fired mm-hmm. because of it. He should have never been in this position. And the BS of saying that it was something with his back, like, come on. I mean, just look at the guy. And that's what's sad to me is a lot of this could have been prevented if they had just been more thoughtful in how they evaluated it.
You know, when the question is asked to you, what is, when you look at your life, how do you categorize your life? What's most important in your life? And you know, you hear a range of things, but I think the most of you hear God, family, football. That's what you hear. GFF. Well, it seems like the NFL sees it different. They see it football, and then whatever else you want to put. That's how they see it. It's football over everything, because there's a bottom line to it, and the bottom line is the dollar. So, you know, we may think, you know, it's one thing. Well, the NFL thinks it's another. The NFL says, well, it's football first, and then y'all can kind of, you know, decide what y'all want to put second or third. But if y'all asking us, it's football. Until you get every owner, not just some owners, until you get every owner that categorize it or label it or you know, whatever you're going to jot it down, until you get them to agree with you as a player, meaning it doesn't even have to be your spiritual first, but as long as it's family first, then that's the only way you're going to change anything. Because if it's family first, then that means we're going to take all necessary precautions that you're there for your family, no matter what, that you're not going to have some of these residual injuries and things that causes you to, frankly, want to take your life later on, and later on after your career. We've seen it. So I'm not saying anything that we have not seen. If NFL ever figures that out, then, I think these players won't be scared to say, you know what? I'm sitting out, coach.
Right.
I had a concussion, coach, and still be okay. And the coach said, you know what? Sit out. You're fine. Don't sit out. Your spot is still there. The team is going to be okay until you come back. We'll be fine. But take care of yourself first. Until they get to that point, it's going to continue to be the same thing.
Yeah, and I wonder when they're going to get to that point. So just look, and this is a discussion we're going to keep having on this show because, mm-hmm. We're all passionate. You're passionate about it. You played the game. So you certainly understand it. Coming up next, trivia. A pair of tickets to see the Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, October 10th. You must participate. We're going to do this on the air. Have a little fun with the Titans and Washington matchup when we ask the question. And I'm curious if Derek knows the answer. We will do that. So load up the line, 615-737-1025. Tune in for NFL pregame this Sunday live from Twin Peaks at 6134 Galleria Boulevard in Cool Springs. Join Jared Stillman and forever Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Washington football team Commanders. The NFL pregame is presented by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company on 102.5-106.3. The game. Chase Willie and D. Mace, 102.5-106.3. The game. Jason McCabe, Derek Mason with you. I guess nobody wants Smashing Pumpkins tickets. Come on now.
Come on, people.
615-737-1025. Join Big Joseph Dubin and Elijah Campbell this Friday for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. Fantastic show. They'll preview the big games, and then they'll take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5 and 106.3, the game. So you do not want to miss that. 615-737-1025. I'm determined to do this on the air because I don't want people to Google mm-hmm. it. And I got a question. I got a good question about the Titans and the then Redskins.
Okay.
And see, I believe you can, if you were referring to them in the past, you can still say Redskins.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they were.
Back then.
Right
yeah.
or wrong.
Yeah,
right that's or what wrong. They were.
Be it what it may.
So, all right. Well, I think we're going to have a participant here in just a second. We got a few more people calling in. 615-737-1025. Let's
do we got somebody?
Yeah, we do. All right. John? Let's go to John. John is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, how you doing? You ready?
Yep, ready.
All right. The last time that the Titans and then Redskins, Commanders now, clashed at FedEx Field was on October 19th, 2014. The Commanders won on a 22-yard field goal by Kai Forbath. The quarterback for Washington was Kirk Cousins, but Colt McCoy came off the bench to defeat the Titans. Who was the starting quarterback that day for the Tennessee Titans when they lost to the then Washington Redskins?
Wow. I don't even know that question. What year was that?
2014.
Oh. Oh, okay. Okay. I think I know who it is.
I'm going to guess Jake Locker.
Jake Locker is the guess.
What? Over? Did you say over?
I think that's the wrong one, but the answer is wrong. Thanks for playing.
It's over. No, it's never over.
615-737-1025. It is not Well, he said Jake Locker. It's not Jake Locker.
Well, hey, they got to be listening. Yeah, you can't continue to repeat it over and over again who is not. You know, Chase? Come on, man.
615-737-1025. Let's go to Adam. Let's see if Adam knows. Adam, do you know who the Titans' starting quarterback was on October 19, 2014, when they lost to Colt McCoy / Kirk Cousins and Washington? Need an answer.
I don't know. It's got me. Sorry, guys.
All right. There we go.
No! God, please, no! No! No!
So you said you think you know?
I think I know who the quarterback was. 14. Yeah. What was that? 7 years ago? 6 years ago? Seven? Six?
Seven. Yeah, something like that.
Gosh. I think I know who it is.
I mean, I can tell you who the head coach was.
That was Malarkey.
No.
No, Wiz.
That was the Wizinator.
Wizinator, yeah. Oh, I think I know who it was.
There you go. Let's go to Al. Al, welcome in. Do you know who the quarterback was for the Titans the last time they played at FedEx Field? They lost to Washington on a 22-yard field goal by Kai Forbath.
Yes, I think I do, and it was to Kendall Wright. I want to say it was Whitehurst, Charlie Whitehurst.
Clipboard Jesus is correct.
Good
Charlie
job.
Whitehurst. What? Good job, Al. We'll put you on hold. You're going to go see Smashing Pumpkins next Monday with Jane's Addiction at Bridgestone Arena.
There we go.
Yep.
Good job, people.
Charlie Whitehurst, Clipboard Jesus.
Charlie Whitehurst. What is Charlie doing now? Anybody know?
I don't know. Last I checked, he was doing okay in life. But, you know.
Yeah. Well.
Charlie Whitehurst. So there you go. That is our trivia question for today. The last time the Commanders came to Nissan Stadium, this is what Vrabel referred to earlier, was in 2018, and you remember Marcus Mariota. They were, the Titans had control of that game. Mariota got hurt. Blaine Gabbert, big game Blaine, came off the bench, and then it was the following week that they had to beat Indy. If they beat Indy, they got into the playoffs, and they didn't have Mariota.
Well, there you go.
So it was a fourth quarter touchdown pass to Michael Pruitt. The Titans won that one 25-16. So a little bit of the history between the Washington football team Commanders and your
I like how
Tennessee
you got
Titans.
All the names. The Washington football team Commanders, whatever else.
Very good participation there. Shifting gears a little bit to college football. The Vols head to Baton Rouge to take on LSU. Vols on the Superbook Sports app have they're favored by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
You think that should be a little higher? You curious?
No,
about that?
I think it's probably higher. Meaning, should it be
like the
seven or should it be like 10?
Not 10, but I thought like maybe six. Five or six.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if it was six or seven. But three, I think their only reason they're giving them three is because they're at home.
Potentially.
You know, so it seems like they would, you know, the line would be a little bit bigger.
But so it opened at 3.5, according to Vegas Insider, and then it's moved a little bit. Some books have it at 2.5, but Superbook has it at 3 right now. I just think this is a very, very important week for the Vols because, you know, Georgia didn't look great last week, even though they ended up winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky loses. So the bye week was productive for the Vols, even though they stayed 8th in the rankings. They didn't move up. They have an opportunity to flex some muscles this week against LSU. And then, you know, that opens them up as they go through this gauntlet of a schedule. You know, it started with Florida, and then they had the bye. Now they have LSU. Then they got to play Alabama. Now that's a 2:30 kickoff against Alabama on CBS in Knoxville. That obviously plays in their favor. But, I mean, can you imagine that, you know, the Vols, if the Vols are 5-0 taking on presumably the number one team in the country in Alabama at that point, what the implications could be for that one. I mean, that would be huge.
It would be huge. But then is Bryce Young back? You know, that would be, to me, that would be sort of the X factor for me. If Bryce Young is back, then, you know, I think that's a game that Alabama wins. But in the big scheme of things, it would be better if, you know, they lose to Alabama. Well, beat Alabama, lose to Georgia, and then wait for them two to beat each other. Or whoever.
Well,
because if you only have one loss, now granted, they would have to beat Kentucky moving forward too. And then I think they got Ole Miss. Do they?
Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt.
Okay.
After Georgia.
So after Georgia, they need to me, if the one game they can afford to lose is the Georgia game. Because if they beat Alabama, Georgia plays in the SEC championship against Alabama. Georgia loses to Alabama. Now, all three of them got a loss.
And here's the other part: if they beat Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
If they beat Georgia, that puts them in the SEC title game. But guess who they probably got to play again?
Alabama.
Yeah.
But right at that point, it doesn't mean anything. Because even if they lose against Alabama, that would be
they're
one
in.
Loss.
Yeah, they're in.
That's what I'm saying. They can only afford to lose one game. And to me, if I'm trying to the scenario for them, if they beat Alabama, say they lose. Okay, let's say they lose against Alabama. They beat Georgia. Then they still go to the SEC championship.
Yeah, but I don't.
But if they lose Georgia, if they lose to Georgia, beat Alabama, now they're sitting back on one loss and they're waiting
to see what
see what happens in the SEC championship. Because either way, with one loss, I think they have a real position to say, hey, listen, we should be in the playoffs.
Look, the committee would have an impossible position because they could potentially look at basically three SEC teams with one loss or two losses, you know, one with two losses, including the championship game, and go, those are probably the three best teams. Maybe they have a case to be in there. But, you know, the thing for Tennessee, if they beat Alabama in Knoxville, I like their chances better there of beating them in Atlanta. I don't think they beat them in Atlanta.
Well, if Bryce Young's not playing, I think Tennessee
that
wins.
That certainly helps.
I think Tennessee wins in Knoxville. If Bryce Young's not playing, I think they win.
I think that certainly helps.
But you're right. If he plays in Atlanta in the SEC championship game and say that's the only loss that Alabama has up until that point, I think it would be very hard for Tennessee to beat them.
But
a second go around.
Look, we can hypothesize all this all we want. You got to beat LSU. You got to beat Kentucky. You can't screw around and let one get away to Missouri or South Carolina. Because I'll tell you this, Missouri's scrappy. I don't know if they're good, but they're scrappy. And they should have won a few weeks ago, and they let that get away from them because 26-yard field goal, and then he's perfect, you know, the next week. But Georgia, I think, look, that's Georgia. They let Georgia hang around. You can't let a good team hang around, and they did, and they beat that. But they're scrappy. They could sneak up and win one they're not supposed to because they've come close. And they could turn around and lose to, you know, Vanderbilt or South Carolina or somebody like that. Tennessee can't let any of that happen. They have to win these games that they're supposed to win. And I would say Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt are three that they are supposed to win. Kentucky can be a toss-up. LSU's a toss-up because it's on the road. Alabama and Georgia are what they are. UT Martin, they should win that too.
Well, scrappy can turn into good if you let them scrap around long enough.
What did I say with the Titans and the Giants?
Yeah, if you let them hang around long enough, a bad team doesn't know they don't know they're bad.
Right.
Especially at the beginning of the season. Bad teams don't know that they're bad, especially if you allow them to hang around long enough. Then they'll find a way to – either they'll find a way to win a game or you'll do something that causes you to lose the game. But as we have seen – the Giants may be an okay team. Maybe. Early in the season.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know. We'll find out as the season goes on. Ryan Tannehill spoke a little bit today. We'll hear some of that coming up next and get you set for Stillman and Company as well. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune into Sunday's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. This week's game will feature my Dallas Cowboys against the Los Angeles Rams at 3:25. NFL Games of the Week presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Ryan Tannehill spoke to the media earlier today. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
Ryan, if you guys have to be without Traylon for an extended period of time, I guess what do you lose when he's not out there, and what are maybe the qualities of the pass catchers you guys, the other ones that you guys have, that kind of gives you confidence?
Yeah, Traylon's obviously a tough guy to replace, but gives other guys opportunities. So, you know, whoever ends up stepping in there for us and getting a bigger role was going to have to come up huge for us. So, you know, we have big, strong physical receivers who can use their size and strength to create some space. So we're going to have to do that moving forward.
How's the thing going with your relationship with Josh in terms of getting him up to speed and where you want him to be part of this?
Yeah, Josh has been out here for a few weeks now, so I think he's learning, you know, as we go forward, and we'll continue to try to do that, you know, including this week.
When you look at the second half, obviously the questions always keep coming about it, but it is something where you haven't scored in three games in the second half, and going into, you know, a game like this and then having the bye week, like how much of an emphasis do you guys put on that as an offense to be able to come out and do something there in the second half in terms of points?
Yeah, we just want to be consistent, you know, and in everything we do, you know, being consistent and able to play good throughout the game. So it's something that we talked about the past few weeks, and we'll continue to do so.
Almost a quarter into the season, I mean, what do you like about what the offense has done so far? And, you know, aside from the second half issues, what are some things that are going to have to get better for you to take it to another level?
Yeah, we just want to continue growing. You know, at this point in the season, you know, Vrabel mentioned to us this morning, half the teams in the NFL are 2-2. So we found a way to win a couple games here in a row. I want to continue to stack those wins as we move forward. And to do that, we're going to have to continue to improve each and every week, you know, moving forward. You mentioned some good things we did on offense, or we have done on offense the past few weeks. Been efficient in a lot of areas, and just need to continue to, you know, work on the things we haven't been as clean at.
Robert Woods mentioned comfort level as a reason why there's been increased production over the last couple of weeks. From your perspective, what has gone into, you know, him getting more targets and you guys having more success?
He stayed steady. You know, I think Robert's done a good job since he got here of buying in and trying to do everything we were asking of him. And I think, you know, first couple weeks, maybe just the first week, second week, he had a good game, in my opinion. So he just kind of stayed consistent, stayed on top of his details. And if you're able to do that, you know, the ball is going to find you. So have a lot of confidence throwing him the ball, and hopefully he can continue to get himself open.
Obviously, there was a lot of history with him, you know, just being in the league. Is there anything that you've seen from working with him that kind of surprised you? Like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that, you know, he brings that to the table?
Yeah, I don't know anything specifically. Just a veteran presence, like you mentioned, a guy who's played a lot of football, understands defenses, understands what we're trying to attack through our scheme. So that veteran presence in that room has been huge for us.
Mike clearly didn't want you guys coming out of the locker room Sunday expressing frustration about the offense, about the second half, about that stuff. He was upbeat, and he wanted you guys to be upbeat. Do you have a feeling for why that messaging was so important to him?
We found a way to win the game, and that's what it comes down to is winning football games. No matter how they come, find a way to win each and every week.
Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill earlier today. I want to read a blurb to you from The Athletic. This mm-hmm. is kind of an outlook of the AFC after four games. This is what they say about the Titans. After a slow start, the division's top team the last 2 years finally appears to be rediscovering itself with a strong run game thanks to Derrick Henry's resurgence and improved defensive play. That has led to wins over the Raiders and Colts and a chance for sustained momentum. The Titans next face the Commanders, the Colts for a second time, and Texans with a bye week sandwiched in Week 6. Do you believe that they've rediscovered themselves?
No. What have they been watching?
They haven't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
there's no mention of the second half and the fact whatsoever. That they come out and they're a completely different team.
They just mentioned the two wins, the two back-to-back wins they had. That's it.
Yeah. Because they just looked at the schedule. Exactly. Like, looked at the box score. Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, they reserved. Oh, Derrick Henry got some more yards. Okay. All right, cool. No.
Look at his yards in the second half.
This team has – they haven't – again, for those that have been watching them, us here in Nashville, this team for three games have played really good football for for three halves in each game. First half, first half, first half. So all together, three halves. Well, they hadn't played good football in the second half. Time. In three games, they haven't played good in the second half. So how can you, for a team that hasn't played, they played horrible in the second half, how can you say there's a resurgence? Because Derrick Henry rushed for more yards? Well, he only rushed for 15, 16 yards in the second half of last game.
Right.
When you say that, you got to watch the teams. Or when you say that, that tells me you don't watch them.
Yeah, watch the tape.
Yeah, watch the tape. You'll see this team has done some good things, yes. And the run game for the last 2 weeks in the first half have gotten a lot better. But it's disappeared in the second half for whatever reason. And that's what we're all trying to figure out, even Vrabel. Why has it gone? Why has it disappeared in the second half? Running game and pass game.
And you can tell that, you know, he's irritated by it because he wants to fix it. But, I mean, you can't ignore the fact that they lost one game.
Mm-hmm.
This team could very well be 3-1, should be 3-1. Mm-hmm. Because they lost one game because of crappy second half play. Mm-hmm. That's the Giants. Buffalo is Buffalo. Raiders, they almost lost. Colts, they almost lost because of the second half.
Exactly.
They hung on. But you can't play with fire for this long and expect not to get burnt again in this case. And look, I don't think Washington's a very good team. But as we keep saying, well, bad team can think they're good if you let them hang in it long enough, and that's what they've done in the second half.
Okay. And you know, when Vrabel comes out and says, hey, listen, we won a game, he's absolutely right. That's how we feel. Hey, listen, we won a game.
Win's a win.
Win is a win. That's all that matters. But if you go down to Washington, if you go up to Washington and you have a horrible second half again, when you win a game, you can't just say, we're done with the, you know, a win is a win, especially if it ends up being you're holding on for dear life in the second half. Because you can't keep playing that game if you want to win your division. You just can't. You know? So, yes, it was great to win the game because you held on in the second half. You did some things in the second half that allowed you to win. Or Indianapolis did some things in the second half that allowed you to win that game. If you then go out against the Commanders and you play a good first half and then the Commanders dominate you in the second half and they win again, what do you say? What are you going to say in your presser?
Right.
I mean, you got to come up with something more than, hey, we won. So we're going to, you know, at least I know why, again, and I know why he's saying it. He's telling the media we won, so we move on. But he's probably back in the locker room telling his guys in meeting rooms when they're watching the film, we can't have this.
Right.
We can't keep playing the games. We can't keep playing this way and expecting that we're going to just hold on in the second half and win games. Better teams. It's not going to happen.
Yep, no doubt about it. That is going to do it for us today. We'll be back at 10 tomorrow, but stick around. Stillman & Company with Caroline Fenton and Adam Vingan will be in today. They are coming up next. They will continue the Titans discussion, and including talking about Ryan Tannehill and Tannehill doubling down on not taking responsibility over the final drive of the first half. They will discuss that as they kick off their show. That is all next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We out.